It is now 4:10 in the nation's capital. 14 hours and 10 minutes since the announcement was made that President John F. Kennedy was dead. That took place 1,400 tragic miles from here in Dallas, Texas. I'm standing in front of the White House, the front that faces Pennsylvania Avenue. It is called the North Portico, and I'm facing the North Portico, where black mourning cloth has been draped over the entranceway. An honor guard is now marching down to the northwest gate, part of the semicircular driveway that leads up to the North Portico and the entranceway. We are awaiting the arrival of the president's body. It is en route now from Bethesda Naval Hospital, about 13 miles from here in Maryland. En route with the body is the president's widow, Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy. We understand the president's brother, the Attorney General Robert Kennedy, and some of the president's very close associates, Kenneth O'Donnell and Larry O'Brien, are also coming. Here on the White House grounds, it's a clear fall night. The temperature, 63 degrees. There's a slight November breeze and chill in the air. And out on Pennsylvania Avenue, people who've been standing there all night are now awaiting the arrival of the president's remains. There are, I would say, 100 to 200 people that I can see. Floodlights light the driveway, and 13 kerosene flares have been placed at about 50-foot intervals along the circular driveway leading up to the entranceway in the North Portico under the giant white columns. About 10 Marines with polished bayonets, part of the military district's ceremonial guard, stand ready to receive the funeral cortege when it arrives here. The president's body will lie in repose in the White House tomorrow and will be viewed by the Kennedy family during the morning and then later and throughout the day by such people as President Eisenhower, the Supreme Court, members of Congress, and other dignitaries. On Sunday, it will be on public view in the Capitol Rotunda. And at 10 o'clock Monday morning, it will be taken to a Catholic church here in Washington for a requiem mass, the St. Matthias or St. Matthew's Cathedral on Rhode Island Avenue, where His Eminence Richard Cardinal Cushing, the Archbishop of Boston, will celebrate the mass. The White House grounds are dotted with television and radio technicians, broadcasters, pen and pencil reporters who have been on this long vigil throughout the day. This unbelievable day, this bewildered day that has shocked not only this country, but the entire world. There are reporters here from many countries. Nearby is the TASS reporter reporting for the Soviet Union. And reporters of all colors, nationalities. This is a very earth-shattering type of experience, something that many people believe could not happen in the 20th century. But indeed it has happened, as witness the tragic developments of this day. Mrs. Kennedy has chosen, in all of the moves that have been made transporting the president's body, has chosen to ride in the hearse with the casket. She did this from the hospital in Dallas when the body was taken from the hospital to the aircraft. She did this when the aircraft landed here in Washington and the body was taken to the Bethesda Naval Hospital. And she is again riding as close as she can with the president. Not many hours ago, Vice President Johnson became the President of the United States as a result of these circumstances, and he is now at home with his wife and will be using the executive offices just across the way here in the old executive office building for the time being. He will not be using the President's Oval Office here in the White House. It's very hard not to think of President Kennedy when you look out over the beautiful trees and the grass here because the president was a man who loved the out-of-doors. The other day, he had a ceremony in the Rose Garden. A group of NEA secretaries, I believe, were here in town. And the president, as is usual every day, greets certain visitors and groups to Washington, and they were out in the Rose Garden. And their leader, or chairman, asked the president if he wouldn't talk a little about the history of the White House. Mr. Kennedy took time during his very busy day to explain that a certain tree was planted by Thomas Jefferson and that another tree was planted by Theodore Roosevelt and so on. I think he knew who planted every single tree in front as well as in the rear of the White House. As a matter of fact, the Rose Garden was one of his pet likes. It's no longer a rose garden. The other day when we were out there during this particular ceremony, we noticed the ground has all been dug up, and we were wondering whether tulips were going in, but that has been the president's pride and joy. It's just off his office. And they say he's had a big hand in directing some of the plantings, the flower plantings that have gone in there, and it was a beautiful sight this past summer with various types of flowers that continued to bloom, brightly colored flowers. The reason we know that the Rose Garden was a very pet-like of his was that during a certain ceremony, I believe it was a ceremony honoring Winston Churchill, when Winston Churchill was made an honorary citizen just this past spring, it had rained very hard, and we were all standing in the grass, and the grass was newly planted. And the president suggested that perhaps we might want to move off the grass because we weren't doing it any good, and we at first thought he was joking. We later found out that he wasn't, and we got the word that we were to get off the grass because he wanted the little seedlings to be able to, or whatever little grass is called, he wanted them to be able to get a firm foundation. And it is, the grass there is very beautiful at the present time. But there's a lot of history here at the White House. Mr. Kennedy spent some 3 years here, 3.5 years, and he has left his mark. I can look over to, as I face the North Portico, I can look upstairs into the presidential apartment. This is the executive apartment where the president and Mrs. Kennedy and the children live. And the light burns in their apartment, although neither one is there. The children are at the home, we believe, of relatives. And as yet, we have not been officially informed that they have been told that their father is dead. This information is very private at the present time. And the Kennedy family wishes that the personal lives of the children would not be disturbed at this moment. We've also been requested that to use discretion in some of the photography that might be taking place, and I believe anyone in similar circumstances would request the same courtesies. The crowd in the street on Pennsylvania Avenue is looking northwestward. That will be the direction from which the caravan will be coming. Ann Korick of our Washington Bureau is standing over closer to the portico, and she is going to get back here with a description of developments over there once this caravan arrives. An honor guard of Marines, Army men, Navy men, Air Force men, and the Coast Guardsmen line the stairway leading into the White House and through the lobby and to the left into the East Room where the President's casket will lie on a catafalque, a black catafalque. It is draped in mourning cloth. We were told that this catafalque or platform is similar to the one that was used by President Lincoln's family at the time of Lincoln's death. The East Room has a great deal of history attached to it, and that is where the president's body will lie in repose tomorrow for dignitaries and the family. And as we said on Sunday, he will lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda up until, I believe, it'll be 9 o'clock p.m. for the public, and until then on Monday from 9 until 10 a.m., and then at 10 a.m. it will be the procession will be bringing the remains to the St. Matthew's Cathedral for a Requiem Mass. This will be a pontifical Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Washington is still very much shocked over what has happened today, as is the nation. It is very hard for one who experienced these developments today, all the way from leaving yesterday with the President and Mrs. Kennedy and watching them as they smiled and met people in Texas and enjoyed themselves, it seemed, and then leaving the hotel in Fort Worth this morning for Dallas, which was only an 8-minute flight, very brief, and the cheering welcome they received at the airport and the enthusiasm in downtown Dallas. And then to find such cold tragedy facing this first family in just a split second when the president's life was snuffed out by a sniper's bullet. I think most of our dignitaries, former President Eisenhower, Mr. Hoover, Mr. Truman, Hadley Stevenson here just a few hours ago at the White House, expressed in more eloquent terms how this country feels about its presidents and how the nation unites when something like this takes place. Washington, although it is a gay city so far as diplomatic partying and the affairs of society go, is not a what you might call busy city at night. Washington, although it's a big town, sort of rolls up the sidewalks at about 9 o'clock and things quiet down. But this evening, there's been a lot of traffic past the White House, people coming in from Maryland and nearby Virginia to take a look at this big mansion. I noticed at the intersection of 17th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue to my left, which is just northwest of here now, the flashing lights of police cars are now stopping traffic and a procession is coming down Pennsylvania Avenue, the bright lights of the cars in a straight line, and a flashing red light at the head car. There are no sirens that I can hear, and I would doubt very much that sirens are going to be used. A police motorcycle officer is now coming down the street to the entranceway here at the Northwest Gate. The Northwest Gate, if you're familiar with the White House, is the gate to the right as you look at the White House. The large trees on these grounds are bare of leaves and lit up. Perhaps they look beautiful, perhaps they look grotesque under the lights that have been set up. This is a very historic, but a very sad night. The procession now getting closer, a motorcycle policeman leading the first car with a red flashing light. There is, I can't tell just how many cars there are, but the hearse, I believe it's a gray hearse, is the third vehicle in the procession. Now the cars are coming into the driveway, into the iron gate. The people there are now standing. They have paused for just a moment. Now the cars are moving in. Here comes the first car, which is a police car. The honor guard at the portico to my right now is snapped to attention. The Marines are now standing. Now they are marching. The Marines that went down to meet the procession are marching. Their rifles with their brilliantly shining bayonets, white gloves, dress uniforms. The rifles are at what you call port arms. And they are leading the procession into the White House grounds. This is what you call a squad of Marines, part of the Washington Honor Guard. These same men have been the men who have joined in happier occasions here at the White House to welcome visiting dignitaries and chiefs of state. I'm going to try to see who I can see in the first car. The first car is the Armed Forces Police. Armed Forces Police, and I see General, I believe. I'm not familiar with the people in the first car. They seem to be some dignitaries and dressed in black, and I'm not familiar with those gentlemen. But I do see some of the President's military aides now coming into the driveway in the second car. General McHugh, the Air Force aide, one of the President's close friends, And now the funeral coach, U.S. Navy. It's gray. The shades are drawn on both sides. A flag is over the casket. I can see the flag through the rear of the funeral coach as it goes by. The United States flag over the casket. The blue field toward the rear, and at the left, the president's head apparently at the rear as the casket was moved in. Now the hearse is at the north portico under the beautiful white marble columns. And I just now have seen some of the close friends of the Kennedy family. And Mrs. Kennedy has, I believe now, come out. This is a very difficult spot, and we are not permitted to get entirely close. We are about 50 yards from where the doorway, which is draped in black mourning cloth, and then we'll be taken through the lobby, then to the left into the east room. It was very hard to identify people in the cars as they came by. The blinds in the funeral coach were drawn. The casket, so far as we can see from this position, is still in the funeral coach. Now we are waiting. A Marine, a sailor, Coast Guardsman, and a soldier are standing to the rear of the hearse. This is a part of the ritual that takes place at the time of a president's passing. Earlier, two Roman Catholic priests entered the White House. They are two priests who have been designated to sit with the president's remains during the night. They will say prayers during the nights that the president's casket is here in Washington before burial. Now the casket has been removed from the hearse, and the military contingent is carrying the flag-draped coffin into the White House. The gentleman leading the procession took his hat off as he went in. The casket has now gone through the doorway under the black mourning cloth that drapes the entranceway, and now a group of people following behind, and I could not at that moment see whether Mrs. Kennedy was there, but we will have that information in just a second as soon as Ann Corey gets back from her vantage point. ...1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Has now written another page in history. John F. Kennedy fought very hard and worked very hard to become a resident of this big, beautiful house. And no one perhaps dreamed that this incident would happen, yet it has. And Mrs. Kennedy, I believe, has received a great deal of sympathy as well as support for her behavior in these trying times. It was not many weeks ago that she lost a child. We do not have information on where the burial will take place. There is some talk, however, if it is not confirmed, that the president will be buried next to the son that was lost this past summer in Boston, Patrick Bouvier Kennedy. The honor guard is now filing in to the White House. And the people out in front of the White House are now beginning to file away. Going home. Some of them are still there. However, I can, at another end, see that many of them are choosing to remain. Looking straight up the beautiful rolling green lawn here to the front door. Now I'm going to call in Ann Corrick to get a report. Ann, we're going to get a report now on what Ann has seen. Ann?
It was a sorrowful scene to see the flag-draped coffin bearing the body of the late president being carried up the steps of the North Portico and into the White House proper. Mrs. Kennedy, in a pink coat, followed him, and it appeared to be the president's brother, Bobby Kennedy, the attorney general, who followed her up the steps through the black draped entranceway and into the lobby.
Where was Bobby and the Attorney General and Mrs. Kennedy? Could you have seen from there? It was very difficult to see. I know that was very hard. So
it was. The honor guard was lined up. As you know, we were restricted in a certain area, but back quite a distance from the portico itself. And it was difficult to see, with the pillars blocking the scene, who did get out of the limousines which arrived here. It is believed, it looked to me as if the president's sister Jean was one of those who went into the White House after Mrs. Kennedy.
Well, Ann, it's getting very late into the morning. I think we can say that this is probably one of the saddest sights Washington has ever seen. And I suppose some should offer the hope that it never has to see another one like this. Some of the staff people who are still in the press office, I noticed, just went by. Helen Gantz, who has been here for many years and served under several presidents.
Mrs. Gantz has been here since 1949, served under three presidents.
I noticed the tears in her eyes as she walked by me just a second ago. And Nancy Olson and some people like that who have worked fairly close to the president, who would see him perhaps every day. I'm very moved by this. A very energetic man, and then suddenly to have such a tragic incident happen. There's very little more we can say. In a manner of speaking, perhaps John F. Kennedy has come home. I think one of the things that might be appropriate at this time. He liked to quote from Robert Frost many times on the campaign, and Mr. Frost was one of his favorites. Mr. Frost died earlier this year, but one of the president's favorite quotations, and I believe it went something like this: "I have promises to keep and many miles to go before I sleep." And with that, this is Sid Davis reporting from the White House.